Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and bonjour, amour. Today, what you need is fire and ice. I want to go to Hollywood, but the crooked path is as it should be. Or is it as it could be? Anyway, have some have not. But at the Grand Parades, Grand Waltz, everybody's doing it. I mean, who couldn't dance with you? There are roses at the station, but love can't happen. So I guess we'll just take a glass together. Don't worry, there's no encore here at the Grand Hotel. Joining us today are the usual Tommy Tuners, including
every time.
I figure we'll just never talk about Grand Hotel.
No, I mean, I appreciate that. Yeah. That was quite impressive.
Thank you.
Every time.
Kevin, H-A-P-P-Y, Jager.
Hi, guys.
And Kimberly, our game master, an unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, stay safe.
Always.
And with us today is a special guest that you probably know from the world of Twitter. Passionate about Broadway, she's head of Laura Haywood Media and leads the AOL Build Series interviews with your favorite stars. Let's give a big Broadway welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Laura Haywood.
Hi, guys. It's really funny. The name of the company was Laura Haywood Media.
And it was run by someone else.
Yeah.
And,
welcome.
And our guest today is.
I feel like David Barton Jim was sold to somebody other than David Barton, though.
Oh, that is true.
That's true. At least it started by David Barton, correct?
Yeah, right. But then he sold it to somebody else, and then it went out of business.
Don't sell.
Or good on selling before it went out of business.
Oh, that's fair.
So you can follow her at Broadway Girl NYC.
On every platform. If you can get a username, I've got it.
Are there like niche ones that you have that you kind of don't use?
Well, I don't think I've ever used Pinterest, but I have a Pinterest account.
I'll follow you right now.
And Snapchat, like, I tried, and I'm just too old.
Yeah, I'm too old to try to figure that out.
I love the filters, but I don't need to send it to anybody.
No,
I
just play with them.
Is that when you get to be a cat or a dog?
Yeah. Those things are awesome, but I just want to send them to my mom, and she's not on Snapchat.
Do you take them, like, can you like export them from Snapchat?
You can save them. Like, if you take it, you can save it instead of sharing it to a story.
Oh, okay. Because some people use it as their Grindr picture.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
They do?
Yeah,
they do. Because it gives a little anonymity, because then you're like a bear and not just yourself.
But also a bear.
I just use it for any selfie I take, because they have that, like, pretty filter.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they any do. Selfie. I'm just like,
wait,
Snapchat.
There's a pretty filter?
Oh, yeah. There's literally a filter that, like, puts contour makeup on you.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn.
We should do one before the end of the night.
Yes.
I like the one that makes me look like I'm covered in, like, a very fine gold glitter.
Yes.
What is this magical
thing? I don't
know
what's happening. It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't chat in a snappy way.
Do you know there's a, this is maybe outside the realm of the interests of your listeners, but Bill Belichick, the football coach, there was some social media controversy. No, he was like, I'm not on Snapface. And that was just a headline on all the sports websites.
Well, of course he doesn't know what Snapchat is.
I know. I like the idea of it being called Snapface.
It is mostly faces.
All he says is we're focused on next week against the Falcons. We're focused on next week against the Falcons.
That's what I was going to say. That's always what he says.
Yeah.
Is he the one that doesn't wear sleeves?
Correct. He always wears the cut-off hooded sweaters.
Yeah, so like removes the point of a sweater.
Yeah.
Hashtag, we're hella well-rounded right now.
Broadway goes sports.
Yeah. You know that I used to be a sports talk radio host.
Really?
Wait, really?
Yeah.
In where?
In San Francisco.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. What, like, when teams were good or when teams were bad?
The first year that I was with KNBR, KNBR 680, the sports leader, our home team, the San Francisco Giants, went to Game 7 of the World Series.
Ah.
Yes, they did.
Yep. We went to Game 7.
That's exciting.
You were there.
And that's baseball, right?
That's baseball.
But then you won in all the even years. So.
Well, this was back before that dynasty.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Need I mention again that I'm old? That was 2002 and 2003 that I worked for them.
So what are we drinking? Let's just go right into it. What are you drinking?
I have some tequila and ginger.
That's what I'm drinking.
Me too.
We're twins.
Yay.
We share everything.
Everything.
Oh. I have gin and tonic and Mucinex D, so this is going to be great.
I'm drinking straight up warm gin out of a red plastic cup.
Cheers.
Oh, look classy when it's not at my house.
Cheers.
They're actually they're filming the new Han Solo movie right now, and they're calling it Red Cup.
No.
It's funny because
that's the code name.
That's the code name.
Oh, okay. Like
really?
Actually,
yeah.
Like, I thought you were making a pun.
There's a Han Solo movie coming out.
It's a young Han Solo movie. Yeah.
Is it going to go in line with like the current?
Well, it's a prequel because he's young.
True.
Yeah.
Daisy Ridley and like
is not in it. This takes place before Star Wars because he's young.
Oh, right, because he's old, right? They're old now.
Great, Kevin.
Got it.
Did you know the guy who invented red Solo cups just died recently?
I did. I read that somewhere.
Can we just make a toast?
Let's cheers again.
Red
Solo cup guy.
I don't think any of us know his name.
I don't know, but I think someone should write a musical ode to him.
There is a song.
Oh, the Red Solo Cup country song?
I know.
There is?
They did it on Glee.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, none of you should have these.
It's not a Pitch Perfect?
I mean, maybe it's a pop song?
No.
It was a country song.
Okay. Yeah.
Super twangy, pop
Real
country.
Twangy.
That makes sense.
Like, it wasn't a crossover in my world until I saw it on Glee.
Exactly. I had never heard of it until Glee. I was like, did they write this song just for this?
I know. I wonder if the guy who invented the cups got any kind of cut.
Like,
of
copyright royalty?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, how old are Solo cups? Like, are they... Do they
They're
fit
not
into
in
it?
Public domain.
I think that we're all checking the bottom of the cup like it has like a born on date.
Like a copyright.
I love that we're questioning the copyright of Solo cups.
Should we look it up?
Yeah, go for it.
While we look it up, Kimberly, can you please sing the song?
Yeah, do you know the Solo cup song?
Red Solo cup. Hey, red Solo cup. Let's throw a party. That's all I know.
I love it. I mean, that's really all you need to know about
and
Red Solo
repeat.
Cup. And repeat.
I think that is all the words.
Maybe.
Wow.
Cool.
And then there's like
sounds
some
like
party noise in the background, I think, during the chorus.
Great.
Yeah. Cute blonde one on Glee did it.
The cute blonde one.
The cute blonde country one.
The stupid cheerleader?
The boy.
Say it.
When was there a cute blonde boy?
In like the third season, right?
Oh, okay.
I stopped after.
Like right before I stopped watching.
I stopped pretty, early on.
When did they think Joan stopped believing?
The first episode of the first season.
I saw that one.
He was on the pilot. Kevin's all caught up on Glee.
Got it.
The Solo Cup Company was founded in 1936, and it was initially, the Solo Cup was a paper cone that Leo Holzman made at his home and sold to bottled water companies.
Is that the guy who passed away?
Sure.
The more you know,
in this case.
I know.
The more you learn,
the more holes you try to fill.
It just brought us more questions.
It's like Lost. It's like an episode of Lost.
Yeah, I gave up on that one in like season 5.
You have one more season left.
I know, I just got bored.
All right.
I stopped questioning if they were lost or not.
So, you're weirdo, Kevin. I love it. I guess let's play What Have You Seen This Week?
What have you seen this week?
Kevin, you see anything this week?
No, sir.
Okay, great. Moving on. Laura, did you see anything this week?
I have to check my calendar.
Go for it.
I go so often that they all just blend into each other, and I can never remember.
What have you seen lately that you've
enjoyed? I will tell you, I got to go see Jitney recently.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so good that as soon as I came out of the matinee, I got a ticket to see it that evening.
That's amazing.
Yeah. First time in my life I've seen the same show twice in one day, and it was really one of the best plays I've ever seen in my life. So and last year, in 2016 alone, I went to the theater over 150 times.
Wow.
So that is saying something.
It is saying something.
So if you don't know, August Wilson's play, it's one of 10 of his Pittsburgh cycle. It's the only one that has never been on Broadway before, and That's now right. it is. So go see it.
And you know how there are certain actors that make their living doing Shakespeare?
Yes.
There are also certain actors that have made their living doing August Wilson. And most of them, if not all of them, have worked with August before he passed away.
Right.
And this play, even though it had never been done on Broadway before, has been done regionally a lot, including with August doing rewrites, some of which incorporated stories based on the actors' actual lives and circumstances.
Wow.
And now this all-star August Wilson ensemble has come together to do this. It's kind of like getting to see Shakespeare's favorite actors performing Shakespeare's plays. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
So go see Jitney.
Yeah, and then I also saw off-Broadway The Strange Undoing of Prudencia Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an immersive musical that's in the upstairs space where Sleep No More is. Mm-hmm. And it's presented by the Royal Theatre of Scotland, I want to say.
Yes.
They put on some great
they're good.
Productions.
Yeah, and it's kind of a ghost story, so it fits in that space. And they serve you Scotch whiskey, and that was really beautiful. I got to see a little preview of a musical version of Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
Oh, with friend of the show, Chris McCarroll.
Yes, and he is fantastic. Right. I really wasn't sure after playing Marius whether he could pull off playing a 14-year-old kid.
Right.
But he just embodies that character so well.
That's awesome.
It's so perfect. So I got to see 3 songs of that, and I'm very excited about
it. That's amazing.
Coming to the Lortel. And that is all I've seen since I got back from D.C. I went down for the Women's March.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was something to see.
Yeah.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Did you see anything while you were down there?
No, I went down and back on the same day.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You did. Okay.
I got on a 6 a.m. bus, and then I got back on a bus at 6 p.m.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I spent 12 hours on the bus and about 8 hours in D.C.
and marching and
except there wasn't a lot of marching.
Yeah. Standing still.
I rebranded it taking a stand.
Yeah.
Because we were just standing.
Nice.
Yeah, because they're like, we can't march to the White House because we're already at the White House at this point. So
taking a stand.
We're just gathering here at the White House.
So it was a gathering, yeah.
Kimberly, you're up. What have you seen this week?
I saw A Waitress on Tuesday, which I had not seen yet.
Really?
Yeah.
And?
The direction of it was very cool. Anytime she, like, took a step back and was in her, like, fantasy world of, like, making a pie or, like, remembering her mom. Like, all of that stuff I loved.
Mm-hmm. I love Sarah Bareilles so much. I've seen her in concert, like, 4 times. So I haven't seen Waitress yet, but I love Sarah Bareilles.
You know, I interviewed Sarah recently, and I asked her point blank if she would consider taking over the role. And she said, never say never.
I know. So now there's
which sounds
rumor.
Like a yes to
there
me.
And
I know.
That my interview was the first time she'd ever addressed it.
See, really? And I feel like she would be great, actually.
Yes.
Yes,
she would. I mean,
no
obviously.
Question.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know her acting chops.
Right.
But, like, the majority of that role is sung.
Well, the way it came up in the interview is I read her recent memoir where she said she'd always wanted to write a musical and star in it, but that her acting was not ready yet. And I was like, don't think I didn't circle the word yet.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Sarah. And she was like, oh, ha ha ha. You know?
Yeah.
So
that'd be so cute.
So did you, it wasn't your favorite musical, it wasn't a perfect musical to you, but did you walk out like having had a good time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
I think just like I walked out a little critical of a few moments and a few people's performances, but overall, like, I was enjoying myself the whole time I was watching it.
Yeah.
Just, I had to listen extra hard. It could also be that I am sick and my ears were clogged.
Did you cry at the end?
Yes, but I was mad about it.
Why?
Because I started crying and I was like, you did this on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
So, speaking of crying, I saw Dear Evan Hansen for a second time. And the first time I saw it, I actually saw it the same night as you and Patrick. Where the Hines were there. But I sat, so we have talked the story before, but my mom bought tickets before it transferred theaters. Meaning when it signed a lease for the first theater and then moved into the music box. my mom bought tickets, and then for the whole Plofsky family, and then when they and she bought like 4 or 5 rows back. But when they transferred into the when they decided to go to the music box, we somehow got put into the front row.
Oh my gosh! Well, Patrick and I sat in the second or third row.
Yeah, I saw you
right
saw
on
you
the that aisle. Like we were basically getting snotted
yeah
on.
Yeah, totally.
And we were happy about it.
Oh yeah. So I was like looking all the way up, and that's the first time I saw it. So this time I saw it, I was actually in the front of the mezz. And
that's my very favorite place to sit.
Me too. That's where I sat for Waitress.
Absolutely.
Center of the front row of the mezzanine
is the best seat
is
in
the best
house
seat in the house.
Oh yeah.
And I recognized some things that I'm totally missed. Like when you're sitting that close, you don't see any of the floor projections.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually very important to the show.
Yeah.
In terms of when they're like g-chatting with each other, like they're standing inside of their chat windows.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Oh, cool.
So like you get that from their positioning on stage, but it was nice to like see that backed up by the technical aspects of the show. You still get the same incredible performance, regardless of where you sit in that auditorium. There are the performances from everyone. And everyone's talking about Ben, and he's incredible. But everyone in that show is amazing. Michael Park in the Glove song is like so many layers. Rachel Bate Jones.
Oh my gosh, that song
that
in
song
the second
is,
act. Ugh. That's probably my favorite moment of the whole show.
Oh, and everyone in tears. You can audibly hear people sniffling. It's like, it's crazy. And I just, I can't wait to see it a third time. I can't wait.
Okay, take me next time.
Okay, great. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I saw it twice off Broadway.
Okay.
Oh,
and
yeah
went back and saw it on Broadway and just got tickets to see it for the second time on
yeah
Broadway,
because,
the fourth time.
Because duh.
But I'm also really excited about Amelie. I saw Amelie in Berkeley.
Oh,
and
you did?
Yeah, and I ran into Adam Chandler Barat, and I said to him, I was like, Amelie's one of the three best shows I saw this year, and the other two were Hamilton. And that was
yeah
right after Hamilton
yes
came out. I loved Amelie. And it's definitely like an underdog, like a little show that
you
could.
Are you a fan of the movie or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't know how I felt about them making it into show. The important thing is to think, what could we not accomplish with the tools that movie making gives
mm-hmm
us that we can
yeah
accomplish? Like, I like something like, I mean, the quintessential example is Chicago, right?
Right.
Where they were like, on stage, you can't do a set and costume change fast enough to have all of Roxy's songs live in her imagination as a cabaret star.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the
in
film,
the movie,
you can make this magic that doesn't
right
exist in theater.
But that's the and, reverse.
Right. And I'm saying you can do it either way. Like, Amelie does these things that are really quirky and sweet and innately theatrical that if
mm-hmm
you put them on film wouldn't have worked.
Right.
If they took the gifts that theater as an art form gives us
mm-hmm
and completely reimagined the way that the story is told.
That's
and
so
Amelie
cool
I feel like would lend itself perfectly to that because it is this quirky imagination world.
Yeah, exactly.
Of Amelie. So I'm really interested to see it because I love the movie, and when they said they were making it a musical, I was like, I don't know, she doesn't talk that much. Like,
so let's take a break and play a game.
Woo-hoo!
Okay.
I'm nervous.
So, 16 Handles is a game about Twitter.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
I have.
Don't worry.
Either
16
that or I'm set up to fail.
I have 16 handles on Twitter handles on my phone, and you're going to have to match the Twitter handle with the person.
Okay. Are you going to give me the people's names and the Twitter handles and I have to match them, or I just have
no
to know
you just have to
who's
know whose Twitter handle.
Here we go.
So I'm going to go around the table, like, 1, 2, 3, and then just keep track of how many you get right.
Okay.
Sound good? We'll try to do as rapid fire as we can.
All right. Here we go.
In honor of the first time we played this game. @actor_friend.
Andrew Bredis.
Yes. I would also accept annoying actor friend.
Okay.
Brian. At Chap Hawk.
Andrew Chappelle.
Mm-hmm. Kevin.
Okay.
@HoofingBoy1000.
Oh, that's Anthony from Falsetto.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anthony.
@AlbinoKid.
Anthony Rapp.
Yes. @RachelDoesStuff.
Rachel Bloom.
Correct. @DMurphyOfficial.
Oh, Donna Murphy. I love her.
@QueenLeslie.
Leslie Margarita.
@BenSplat.
He's in something. He's in something right now. Ben Platt.
@KeenanBlogger.
Oh, it's Andrew Keenan Bolger. Hey, friend of the show.
@DirectFromDavid.
Oh, Oh, I was just tweeting at him. Is it David Alpert?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from who directed Broadway Con.
Yes.
Ooh, good one.
That was a tricky one.
Yeah.
Adiva Robbie.
Oh, Robbie Rizal. Sorry, I'll stop. That joke's so funny to me.
At JLT says what?
JLT says what? Jennifer Laura Thompson?
That is correct.
Wow.
Yes. You guys were nailing.
We are so good at this.
Did you hear I was insurance? So I got quieter and quieter. Jennifer Laura Thompson. No one has ever Glinda. Said her name creepier.
Oh, she was your Glinda?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
She was amazing. At HeyPod22.
HeyPod? I have no idea.
Oh,
I know this one.
Friend of the show.
Pop in.
Haley Pachoon.
Yes. At Park 24 Hours.
Oh, Michael Park.
Yes.
What are all of these Dear Evan Hansen Twitter handles?
No, but that's probably where I was looking today.
That's how you say it.
At Mark Coods.
Mark Coodish?
Sure. Yes.
Oh.
At J.K. Corden.
Oh, James Corden.
At Oak Smash.
Oh, that's my boy.
Can you pronounce his name?
Okierete Onaduan.
Yeah! Yes.
I love him.
At The Nastro.
Oh, that's what? Justin. That's Justin.
Hi, Justin.
That's Lights of Broadway Justin.
Hi, just
Justin.
Incredible.
Yes. Follow him on Facebook, Just Incredible.
He does lots of fun Lights of Broadway giveaways, you know.
He's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He sold me
my first pack.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I just made a very risky but very good trade with him.
Oh.
I opened my first giving back card.
Oh.
I got James Monroe Iglehart.
Yeah.
Oh.
And James Monroe Iglehart was the only giving back card that Justin didn't have. So he was begging me to trade him for Stephanie J. Block. And I love Stephanie J. Block.
Yeah.
And as far as I was concerned, I just wanted a giving back card.
Yeah.
So yeah.
If I could help Justin complete his set, that felt like an accomplishment.
Yeah.
But I made him the agreement that I would trade him my James Monroe Iglehart for his Stephanie J. Block if he would agree that if he ever opened another James Monroe Iglehart,
he would give it
to me with no additional trade necessary.
Nice.
So his set got completed, and I'd have the chance of getting two.
I think that's a great deal for you.
Yeah. Two. I think so, too. Because either way, I have one.
You're a fierce businesswoman.
Yesterday, or it might have even been today, my day has been like a million hours long,
yeah.
He tweeted me, I have some news that's really going to excite
oh,
you,
no!
But he hasn't told me what it is yet.
Regardless of what happened, you did a mitzvah.
Thank you. I'm still going to end up winning.
That means good thing, right?
I mean, good deed.
Oh,
yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. No good Thanks, mitzvah Brian. Goes unpunished.
Oh, God. Rewrite it now.
It was a Lights of Broad mitzvah.
So good.
That's so good.
Did
anyone decide that they won?
Our guest won.
She won. She made that good deal.
You may have
The
Humans, a conversation with Frank Rich and the cast of The Humans.
Amazing.
Or one of two King and I souvenir programs.
I'm going to take The Humans.
Yes.
Woo. Thank you.
Before we move on to another game, we're going to ask you a couple questions.
Question time. What's
your favorite musical?
I need you to be more specific with that question.
You're going on a desert island tomorrow, Napoleon style, and you have the choice of seeing one musical done perfectly. You don't know who's going to be in it. It doesn't matter, but it's going to be the perfect version of that musical. And then after that, you're on the desert island and like, that's it. What do you say?
That is an amazing way of phrasing the question, because most of the times, like, favorite musical of all time, favorite musical still running, favorite memory at a musical. But the way that you phrase that is the best I've ever heard that question phrased.
You're welcome.
He painted a picture for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a, jeez. Okay.
You know,
I'm going to pose this question
to everybody at the table.
Are you proposing?
I will say, I'm just going to sort of talk through my thought
process. Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
So there are certain shows that I have seen that I have felt like I saw perfectly done.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me wants to go back and see one of them again.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, well, I did see the original production of Spring Awakening 18 times,
right,
so maybe
right.
I should choose something else, you know?
Right, yeah, right. Totally.
You know, and I did, as a little girl, see Bernadette Peters in Into the Woods.
Oh, wow.
So, it's like, I I generally say Into the Woods when people want to know my favorite musical of all time.
Right.
But I'm not sure that that's what I would choose for this because I already have the memory to take to the desert island. Yeah. If you had said I have to
I'm glad you're showing your math. This is like awesome.
If you had said I had to erase all my memories of all previous musicals and only remember the one.
Well, that wouldn't inform whether it was perfect or not if you couldn't remember anything to compare it to.
Right. Well, but it might be that Bernadette Peters production of Into the Woods.
Right.
Epic.
I feel like I'd want to choose something that I have never seen or heard before. Because if I could see it perfectly, I'd like to pick something that, like, there are no current cast recordings of.
I like that.
Interesting.
I'm going all Jen Tepper on you guys.
No, I love this.
The Black Crook.
Yeah.
If it had to be something perfect, I would say Merrily We Roll Along.
Because
has never been a perfect production. So I would like to see what the gods of the island have deemed perfect.
That's really interesting because I sort of would like to see the original production of Merrily.
Well, that's all I want in my life.
Is to see the original production.
I wrote my thesis on
Did you see the documentary?
Not yet.
Oh my gosh, it's
I know.
So good.
My friend was working on the post-production.
Kevin?
In that specific scenario, I think I would pick Caroline or Change, just because that show literally, like, if you listen to just the cast album, it, like, runs the gamut of emotions. And so if I was prepared to go to, like, a desert island and never see a show again, I would want to be taken on a ridiculous journey by Tanya Bacon's through Caroline or Change. That show is so incredible. It's just so incredibly written and crafted, and the emotion is so raw in the essence of the music. It's beautiful.
My answer to that is I would see a perfect version of Men of La Mancha.
Really?
Like, answer always Men of La Mancha?
Brian loves that show.
I love that show. It is my favorite show. I love that show.
It's a beautiful show.
It's a beautiful show. I've seen really good productions of it, but I want, like, a production like Punch
Brian
in the Face.
Mitchell do it.
I did.
Oh, I know what mine is.
Oh.
Go. Ragtime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People call it Ragtime.
Actually, my opener, before I decided on Grand Hotel, I was going to do Ragtime.
Wait, I know for sure, 100%, if I could see any show done perfectly, it would be Ragtime.
Great. Cheers.
Cheers.
What a good, fun, diverse answer group.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
But I have something about Ragtime that I want to ask you all. So what cast album of Ragtime do you have? Like the original Broadway cast?
So, you know, the most recent revival?
Yes.
Yeah.
They actually did a promo recording of four songs. They never released an album, but those four songs get a lot of play.
So when I don't remember if I bought it when I saw the tour because I was young. I don't remember when it toured. It was like 10.
Yeah.
But we got the cast album. We probably bought it on like the early days of Amazon, not checking what it was. So I grew up with the La Jolla production cast album.
Oh my gosh.
So when I went to see a production of Ragtime, because I didn't remember what I saw in 2000 when it came to Philadelphia. So when I went and saw a production, I was like, wait, these songs are different. They cut my favorite song. And then I, like, went back and was just like,
was it cut for already before Broadway? But
yes.
You had heard the
So I had grown up on the La Jolla cast album, which has a duet between Harry Houdini and Evelyn Nesbitt called The Showbiz that is so fun and good and, like, just them being, like, down on their luck and being like, well, that's showbiz and we're going to still do it.
Ooh, I want to hear
was
that.
Like,
oh, do you still have it?
Yeah.
Cool.
I had a situation sort of like the opposite of that,
yeah.
Where I had a cassette of Les Mis when I was little.
Oh, I had that cassette.
I played it until it physically broke because mm-hmm. I had played it so much. And so all I wanted was the CD, right? And yeah. it had just come out on this super expensive double CD. Yep. And I was like, I want this so bad. And I got it and I was so excited. I put it in the brand new sparkly, shiny DVD CD player. And I turned it to, I probably listened to it on shuffle because I was always into shuffle. Yeah.
Les Mis on shuffle is probably so fun.
It's especially fun when you get like a 5-disc changer and you put in 5 different musicals and then you imagine what the storyline would be if those were
That's
all
a
in
fun
that
game.
Order. The Gavroche lines are all different in the barricade scene. And I got to it and I was like, oh, I don't like this. This isn't my Les Mis. It was the London cast recording.
I was confused
yep. because at the time I was probably 10. I did not really know what Broadway was. I went to the theater a lot with my family, but mm-hmm. we went to a lot of community theater. And
where are you from?
I'm from Oakland, California. Oh. So we'd go into San Francisco occasionally for the Best of Broadway series.
There are a lot of good like regional and community theater out there.
Yeah,
though.
My grandma performed in a lot of community theater. She played all the Kelly O'Hara roles. Like, she was in The King and I, and she did South Pacific.
Yes.
She was like an operatic soprano musical theater voice. But these were... It was not Paper Mill Playhouse, you know? These were like...
That's where I grew up.
What I thought Broadway was 2 giant opera houses... Where Les Mis was in one and Phantom was in the other, and they were next door to each other, and you could go to one or you could go to the other, and they were going to play forever.
That's amazing.
Yeah, not untrue.
Not untrue.
That's kind of like what I thought when I like growing up in Florida a little bit. Like I had the same idea.
I didn't know that shows opened every year and sometimes yeah. they mm-hmm. closed, and that when it was in London, it was different.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Craziness.
Yeah. So that learning curve, because when I went and saw a community theater production of Ragtime and they started singing Poor Young Rich Boy, I was like, what the hell is this? This is not real. And I was like, you guys took some liberties and I'm gonna talk to you about it afterwards.
That's
and
so interesting because literally I grew up 5 minutes from Paper Mill Playhouse.
Uh-huh. And did you used to go?
All the time.
Uh-huh.
And then we would always be in the city, like seeing the like So my growing up around Broadway experience was it's always interesting to hear everybody else's because mine was drastically different than like because
you knew exactly what it was.
I knew it was
from
happening.
Like, went to Broadway.
Yeah, it was so
I didn't even know that the shows that we saw that were part of the Best of Broadway series, or in the case of Into the Woods, it was the pre-Broadway tryout came through San Francisco, and it's taken me forever to even be able to authenticate that as true.
Yeah.
Because things just weren't documented in the same way.
Yeah,
and but I finally found a reference to it because even though I was only 7 or 8, I could swear that it was Bernadette Peters, and my sister, who's 4 years older, she also could swear it was Bernadette Peters, but we were like, how could we have seen it
in San Francisco?
In San Francisco, but it did
you
come
did?
Through
That's
for
so
a
cool.
couple of weeks, and I think my parents were probably like, oh, it's about fairy tales.
Let's go.
Like, we'll take the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll give you nightmares.
I mean, such a clear memory, I can still see Bernadette Peters. I think we sat in the 3rd row. I can still see her in my mind's eye.
Wow, that's incredible.
From that performance, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your first Broadway show like?
On August of 1992, when I was 13, we came and we saw 5 shows in 5 days.
Oh, wow.
4 on Broadway and 1 off Broadway, mm-hmm. 4 musicals, 1 play. The very first one was Crazy for You, starring Jodi Benson and Harry Groener. Jodi later won the Tony for it, I believe.
Yeah.
And the show won Best Musical. So you know how everybody does like stage dooring now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely not a thing and certainly not a verb in 1992.
That wasn't a thing until like 5 years ago.
The original term is stage door Johnny. Where the boys would stand around the stage door waiting for the chorus girls to come.
Waiting
out.
For the girls upstairs,
that, right?
If you
will. Yeah. but you know how in New York you'll get these crazy freak summer rainstorms?
Yep. Yes.
Well, we don't have those in California.
Oh, no.
It only rains when it's cold.
Right.
So it's, you know, 95 degrees. We go to the theater, we come out, and we didn't have umbrellas, and you know, we were wearing like we were dressed up for the theater, but we were not like ready for
prepared
rainstorm.
For rain.
Yeah.
And so we were just like, I guess we better hang out under the marquee until the rain stops. And of course, and this is at the Schubert Theater, and we're in Schubert Alley, and Jodi Benson came out and she said, I saw you in the front row with your pretty smile. And I ended up taking a picture with her, writing her a letter and sending her the picture. She wrote me back.
Oh, wow.
That
oh
is
my
so goodness. Sweet.
And that's kind
of
my
Little Mermaid.
I know. That's kind of like
what's mail?
Story.
What's writing a letter? I don't understand.
I know. And then we saw the next night, we saw Guys and Dolls with Nathan Lane.
And Faith Prince.
So good.
Faith Prince and Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher.
Mm-hmm. and
Arnie Sabella.
Then yeah, Arnie Sabella's in it, and I was like, "Hey, that's the guy from Saved by the Bell."
Yeah, and I that's Mr. Carosi.
Yeah, I know. And Malibu I was like, "Why wouldn't he put that in his pantomime?" It's
clearly his best credit to date.
I know. Yeah. And my parents were like, "Maybe it wasn't him." And I was like, "You guys, yes, it's it was. Definitely him."
Trust me. Leon Carosi. I guess explain kind of the trajectory of Broadway Girl NYC.
Yeah, cool. So I was doing sports talk and classic rock radio in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I also did some freelancing for Major League Baseball and the NFL.
Cool.
And one of the producers I worked with on NFL broadcasts was like, "What are you up to?" And I was like, "I don't know. I'm looking for work. Why? You know of anything?" And he goes, "Would you ever consider moving to New York?" And I said, "Yeah, you know someone who's hiring?" And I had never thought about moving to New York.
Right.
I was born and raised in the Bay Area, never thought I'd leave. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Well, I am." Apparently, he had been hired by Sirius Satellite Radio, which was brand new, to launch a channel based on Maxim magazine. Anyway, so I moved out here after being recruited for that job. And as you can imagine, the Maxim folks did not have a lot of crossover into the Broadway musical world.
Right.
And at first, I didn't know that could go see. I didn't know about discount tickets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I would save up my money, stand in line for a return ticket, and spend, you know, $175 to see Spamalot.
And if you want to know how to get cheap tickets, go to Broadway for Broke People.
It's my favorite website.
It's my favorite website.
And my favorite thing about it is that it's so simple. It's just an Excel spreadsheet.
That's all it is, that they import when a new show comes out, and it's phenomenal.
But it's always super up to date.
I never looked at it.
I look at it when I want to remember which theater a show is in.
Or, does this show do a rush, or do they do a lottery?
And
does
which shows have Monday performances?
It's like high vibe to that.
Yeah, it's
that
great.
Awesome.
I talk about that site so often, people think I run it. Okay, so you want to hear about how a good deed can change your life?
Let's talk more about mitzvahs.
I bought two tickets. I was really into indie rock music, and I loved this band called The Format, which
you guys know. Yeah, I know. Right. I've saw Fun 19 times.
But I loved The Format.
Of course.
So I bought tickets to see them. Yeah. Dog Problems?
Dog Problems is the greatest album of my whole entire life.
Can we high five again?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Okay, so I bought tickets to see The Format at the Old Knitting Factory.
Yeah.
And, which is a tiny venue. And then they started announcing...
I'm so happy right now.
I know.
Oh,
I'm
excited
too. And it was on Halloween, and I bought two tickets thinking, I'll find somebody to go. And then they started announcing all of these other acts that were going to be on the bill. And it was like Matt Nathanson, who I loved, who's from San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who else they added, except that then they added the Cranberries.
Yes.
And I didn't really care about the Cranberries. I just wanted to see The Format, and I was excited about Matt Nathanson. But tickets started costing an arm and a leg through Craigslist. There was no StubHub or anything. StubHub did exist back then, but I just remember seeing...
StubHub used to be mostly about sports.
Yeah, I think StubHub was a sports thing at the time. But anyway, so I decided I would really like to find somebody who really cared about this concert, and I just give them my tickets. Tickets were $15 or something. I mean, it was not... But they were selling for over $100 on the secondary market.
Right.
And I was like, I'd rather just give it to somebody. And I think that I thought, maybe I'll find a cute boy to give it to.
Right.
Because I remember... I posted it in the tickets section and in the women seeking men's because Craigslist did not used to be quite as smarmy.
Yeah.
Like there were no apps for dating back then. If you wanted to go on an online date, you went on Craigslist.
Yeah.
But this guy named Brian wrote to me and was like,
"It was me."
It definitely wasn't you. No, but this guy wrote. His name was Brian, and he said that he was a huge Cranberries fan. And he would have bought tickets immediately, except they sold out before they even announced the Cranberries were on the bill.
Oh,
and his email address was like some. This wasn't the exact one, but it was something like @BroadwayGroupSales.com. It ended up being super awkward, but we both really enjoyed the show. And the next week, he sent me an email and said, "My office gave me two tickets to see this show. I know nothing about it. It's called Spring Awakening. Do you want to go?" And I was like, "I guess." And I Googled it or whatever. I guess Google was around then.
Right.
You asked Jeeves.
And Jeeves was like, this is a play from 1895 by Frank Wedekind.
Was this at the Atlantic or
no?
On
this was on Broadway, okay. But it was in previews. So I was like, oh, this is going to be like some old-timey. Almost didn't go, but then I was like, yeah, it's free. It's right around the corner from my apartment.
Cranberries guy.
Yeah, no, but I was like, it's free.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we ended up sitting in the center of the front row of the mezzanine, and I had been, you know, I was in my 20s and like had a good job and stuff, but I had been a very angsty teenager. And as you know, I loved my indie rock.
Right. So, all the girls pose the same four pictures. Yeah, I got it.
So I remember turning to him at intermission and being like, I think this is amazing. I went in expecting to see a play from the 1800s.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I got this Duncan Sheik musical,
yeah,
you know, that was just like blew my mind out of the water when the shows that I'd seen up to that point were Spamalot and The Producers, and this just felt like so different during previews.
I saw it 5 times.
Yeah.
You saw 18
times. Yeah.
And which I saw as an angsty teen, and I was just like, why do you know my soul?
Yeah, exactly. And I was, why do you know my soul? And also, I have enough money to spend on these tickets 18 times.
Yeah.
And also,
for
that was, they were
soul.
One of the first shows that started utilizing. It wasn't really social media yet, although they did have a MySpace presence, but they were the first show that did the like text yes to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to get entered in for a backstage tour. I will say I know zero people who ever won that.
I did not.
And I knew hundreds of people who entered, so I don't think it actually existed.
It was a great advertising ploy.
My entire college campus was trying.
I was going to be the condensed version. You ended up getting the long version.
But that's
the story of
sort of how
I started seeing everything. And then when Twitter started, people were using it basically to copy and paste their Facebook status updates.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't really feel the need to do that because I didn't need strangers reading like what I had for lunch or whatever, or even like where I was hanging out. But I read this book called Waiter Rant that was based on an anonymous blog from a guy who worked in the restaurant business.
I know it very well. I
Did
read that all the time. It's me! No.
It was based on a blog, but the guy wanted to be a writer, and I think he started it off, the blog, to sort of reveal secrets about the restaurant industry, and it would be like, here's what the health department doesn't see. But he ended up using it as a storytelling mechanism, and it would be like this, and he gave everybody code names, and he never said where he worked, just that it was a fancy restaurant in or around Manhattan. And it would be like, this waitress is having an affair with that bartender, and, you know, this customer came in and did this awful thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And I lived in the building right next door to the Walter Kerr Theater, right across from the Longacre.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know how Broadway's like a campus. Everybody is within,
everyone's around.
Yeah. And you just see everybody everywhere. And I would like go to Starbucks and there would be three Elphabas drinking lattes together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, does anybody else see this? And so I started writing it down. I decided to start a blog like Waiter Rant, except to tell stories of Broadway. Well, the blog didn't really take off, but the Twitter account did. And I wrote the blog for about a year, tweeting I could just do whenever I was walking around. Although at the time I didn't have a phone I could do it from. It was all from my desktop computer.
Oh, right. I remember.
I wrote a blog post about a Freestyle Love Supreme show. Did you guys ever see them? You know,
no, but
you
know
what
it is.
So it's Lin-Manuel Miranda's freestyle rap improv group.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was like James Monroe Iglehart, and I'm trying to think who else from like the Chris Jackson. And they did a freestyle where the word that somebody threw out was horse. And so they each had to do a rap about something to do with a horse. And Lin chose to talk about how when he was in the Heights, he was as healthy as a horse. And then he'd like let his health go. Mm-hmm. They'd let his body go. But then now he had to get back in shape now that he was going to be starring in the movie. Well, guess what? He'd never publicly acknowledged that he was going to be starring in the movie. There had been rumors that the movie was happening.
Right.
And of course, the movie ended up not happening.
Yeah,
now,
still
finally,
technically might be happening.
Well, now it's like happening again. But it was scrapped.
Right.
And now it's back on with a different team. But at the time, he, at a public show with a microphone in his mouth, said he was going to be starring in the movie. Now, to me, this was like what I lived for. I wrote a blog entry about this Lin-Manuel Miranda reveal, and it caught the attention of Broadway World. And I emailed info@broadwayworld.com and said, hey, I'm out and about seeing this stuff all the time. Like, can we talk about me contributing? And at the time, you know, the exposure was enough for me. So I on and off for 3 years wrote this column for them, and it really put me on the radar of kind of the Broadway media and made Broadway Girl much more of a thing than it would have been.
Yeah.
I stopped doing the blog when I started writing the column for Broadway World.
Oh, okay, okay.
And eventually I had to stop writing the column because I was still anonymous, but I couldn't tell any of my really good stories because they would have given my identity away.
Right.
And as I continued to get more and more into Broadway on kind of a full-time hobby basis, my role at Sirius changed. The Maxim partnership ended. I went into an off-air role in talent booking and got assigned, because of my passion for Broadway, I got assigned Broadway talent to bring in across the entire SiriusXM platform, which by then was over 100 channels. So yeah. I had this professional access to Broadway at the time, which is how I got tickets to my shows.
That's amazing. What a cool story.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's play a game.
Okay.
So what we're casting today is the Devil Wears Prada musical, which has been rumored for a while and was just announced that it's actually in some sort of production.
Elton John is
with Elton John. We had like a crazy long conversation about the Miranda Priestly role as soon as it was announced, and we were like, I don't think she can have a song. I think she can't have a song. She probably can't sing.
I don't think she should have a song until the end, where she's like out of her makeup and Andy sees her as the first time. However, that'll never happen, so it doesn't matter.
I know. And I was like, she should never sing that. It should just be like huge group numbers that are just, and she isn't noticing them and walking around the stage.
But it,
she's crazy.
She holds her power by.
But you know, Ellen's going to write her some kick ass songs.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
All right. So let's start with Andy.
You guys go first. I'll go
the
last.
The Anne Hathaway role.
Okay.
Are we saying that it's not going to be Anne Hathaway?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, no, you can do whatever you want.
That's true.
For my Andy, I said, we actually just talked about this, which is interesting. I think she should make the transition to Broadway. So I said Sarah Bareilles should play Andy.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
I also think she
could rock those
Elton,
Chanel suits.
She would sing his music very well.
Oh, Samantha Barks.
Mm. Okay.
Get her on there, girl.
Okay. Who do you think?
Oh, am I playing too?
Yeah, you could play.
But mine's also Samantha Barks.
Yeah!
I want Ariana DeBose to play
Andy. Good one.
Or Nicolette Robinson-Odom.
I'm also now trying to think of the makeover sequence to see who's going to...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Ariana. I feel like she can play... Especially, have you seen Bronx Tale
yet? Yeah, they have.
Kevin and I have.
So she plays this, like, innocent... But she can also play so badass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
she can turn
one.
On
so
the
So she
bitchy.
Can do the transformation.
She can play an actual bullet. Like, she can actually kill you.
I also had... I had Nikki James also for that role, and I also had Ms. Mendez.
Yeah, she's... I can see that.
Love. I just need her on Broadway.
Samantha Barks.
Yeah.
She needs to do something. And now for my favorite character of the entire film.
Okay.
The Stanley Tucci role.
B.D. Wong.
Oh.
Okay, Kevin?
I have two, but I'm...
I have five written down.
I would go with Roger Bart. I feel like he could be that kind of, like, sassy, but, like, bring the... I don't know. I would put Roger Bart.
I've gone in a totally different direction.
Yes.
So I want to cast, assuming that my casting for Andy goes through and it's Ariana or Nicolette.
Yes.
I want to cast James and Roe Iglehart.
Oh, he would be so nice at the end.
For Emily, which is like the side character who's trying so hard to break in, I said Adrienne Warren would be incredible because she's gorgeous.
Oh, interesting.
I thought Adrienne Warren would be incredible in that part.
No, mine's Hannah Ellis.
I thought Hannah too.
I put Laura Benanti in that role.
Yes.
That would be funny.
Laura would be so good.
I do
so
love
over
both
it
of those
and
actresses.
Sassy.
Also, for Nigel, I also thought Danny B would be great.
Danny
Burstein?
Really?
Yeah.
For Nigel?
Yeah.
I like that you've given everybody nicknames.
I know, me too.
I got Danny B. I got B. Oscar. I got M. Park.
When you say Danny B., I think of Danielle Brooks. I was like, that would be really interesting.
Sure, why not?
I mean, her Twitter is the Danny
I know,
B.,
I know.
Real Danny B. Yeah. So I'm like,
Danny Burstein could actually be pretty fun.
Wait, do we do
Miranda
yet?
No, we save Miranda for last.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now this is the Randall character.
Right, the wild card.
I did Christian, like the sexy one that like takes her off to Paris or whatever.
The Mentalist.
Yes. I said Seth MacFarlane. Because I want to see him on Broadway.
I would love to see
and
him.
I think he would
I don't know
sing
if he's
the crap
like,
out of it.
He would, but I don't know that he's like
the handsome enough. Yeah.
Well, because I felt like he could play
he's
the
not dangerous
older
enough.
Kind of guy like thing for a younger
yeah, he's
actress.
Still kind of goofy.
I also, because I cast Sarah Bareilles as Andy, they sang Baby It's Cold Outside together for like the tree lighting a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
well,
incredible.
He really can sing. I mean, he's got like an opera.
So I thought that would be really cool.
Voice.
I also just don't. Like Family Guy. I'm just like,
so Kevin Ulis.
I love
but I don't like cartoons.
Joshua Henry for Christian.
Oh, that's a good one. But he's Dreamboat. Supposed to be like a daddy.
Yeah, but Kimberly loves him. That's why I
chose I put Tay Diggs in there.
Oh, interesting.
Like,
yeah.
I want somebody who
has
like,
to be a little older and dangerous.
And somebody who kind of just exudes sex, you know?
That's a good one.
Tay Diggs is a good choice.
Oh, thank you.
That's what Colin Donnell.
He's sexy. Hmm.
Okay. I could see him more as the boyfriend.
Yeah,
me too.
Oh, Nate, as Nate?
Yeah.
Who would you cast as Miranda?
Miranda Priestley.
Mm-hmm. Kev.
I'm going for it. I'm going to say they should cast Kristen Chenoweth and have some song with like The Little Looks or something like that. Like give her something to play off of being the tiny woman on stage with all the power.
So.
Oh, I like that. I was
like
going
that a
way
lot.
Older.
I listed a lot of people and I'm going to read them off.
Okay.
All of them?
Yeah, because.
You got to pick one.
I know. Oh, no. Until I get to the one I'm doing.
Okay.
You're going to read the runners up first.
Yeah.
It's Miss America.
You got Audra.
Yeah.
Carmen.
Mm-hmm. She's not old enough yet.
And I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I wrote down.
Okay.
Ebersol.
I put her. I think it's going to be too similar to her war paint character.
That's what I was thinking.
But
too.
I, she was my first thought. And
but
then
you
I
know
went,
who you cast?
Who?
You want to sell tickets?
Who?
Meryl Streep.
She won't do it.
She won't do it.
I don't care. That's who I'm casting, and she's doing it.
But not on Tuesdays. She'll pull a Bette Midler.
No, that's when Ebersol comes in.
Donna Murphy would be brilliant.
I say you cast Meryl Streep.
Andrea Martin.
Oh, I would. I think Andrea Martin. I might like Andrea Martin better than my choices. And my two top two were Beth Lovell and Bernadette Peters. I love Bernadette as a bitch, as like
insane.
A stone cold bitch. And she'd sell tickets.
She would.
She would. I think if you can get Meryl Streep to play that part and sing those songs.
You can't.
You do it.
I don't know. I'm liking Andrea Martin now.
Yeah,
but
me too.
It, like Bernadette. I'm just still picturing all of them in the wig. Because I just assume that they'll have to wear the same wig.
I really try to go back to what I imagine the non-physical character descriptions are going to be before I dreamcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to pick doppelgangers. I want to be like, what's... And actually, Jake...
I didn't. I picked the exact person.
No, well, I know. But I mean...
Kristen Chenoweth with an Anna Wintour bob and huge sunglasses is now making me giggle so hard.
It would be pretty hilarious.
And she would give you so much to play with, like, vocally and... She
but also,
can bring in...
But you have Meryl Streep on stage. Like, that's
I like the idea that... Because Kristen has... That sort of severity.
We're really all pitching real hard.
She can do
yeah.
severe, but she also has that classical opera training. So if that was a way to represent her old-fashioned style, she could sing opera while the rest of them say pop.
Oh, so do I have to say who wins?
Yeah. Well, what's your cast?
I would say Kristen as...
That's Kevin.
Miranda. Andy... I don't know. It was such a huge push that Ariana DeBose is going to get it, and she's going to have, like, some crazy fun makeover sequences, and she's just going to look so fierce and amazing.
Nigel?
Who else?
Nigel?
I don't know why Danny Burstein makes me laugh so hard.
All right. I'll take it.
James Monroe, Iglehart, she said, and
yes.
I said Roger Bart.
Can they just alternate?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Wait, but who was... Oh, but then Tay Diggs is Christian.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
She said. I think her cast wins.
Yeah, maybe you're just cast, but then put Kristen in.
Really what I'm pitching
so
is
good.
less the actual performers and more
And then you
this...
pitched me a production, and I'm just going to buy into your production.
Great.
It's more what happened than
and
you guys
And then you guys
something.
Can cast
we
it.
Go, we, so it's interesting because we play to what you like.
I know.
And she played. So now I have to play production from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was playing to the test.
We've changed the game.
We got to take our game up to the next level.
Yeah, man.
Damn.
We need to be Fox and freaking do it Grease after all the NBC shows.
Yes.
And just be like,
yeah.
Oh, you think you
exactly.
can do a live musical?
Yeah.
We're going to do Grease.
Lights of Broadway time.
Lights of Broadway.
Lights of Broadway.
Yeah.
Can I
am going to be so proud that I finally organized my pack and I have put all of the doubles away.
Yes.
And I have Brian so excited to not get Warren Carlyle five times in a row.
Oh, for when you play this game.
Yeah. I got like Warren Carlyle like a million times in a row.
Can I just say, you guys did such a good job running the trading.
Talk to Kimberly.
Thank you.
There were people on the trading groups on Facebook talking about the whole like, put one down and take one, and here's what I'm looking for format, and they all agreed that that was the best way to do it.
Oh, cool. Done. That's
I should start having, like, meetups and trade. Yes. So, you're each going to pick a card, or we're all going to pick one, and then I'll tell you what it means. Let's do just a fancy date night dinner that you're going to cook for yourself or a loved one. So, the card is going to inspire your choice.
Like your meal.
Great. So, Kevin's going to do the appetizer. You can handle the specialty cocktail.
Okay.
Brian, you'll do the entree. I'll do dessert.
Sure.
Great.
And with our card.
You just inspired by a la, like, Top Chef.
Right. Okay, so appetizer. I have the appetizer, and I have John Raitt, which I just learned from the Did You Know part, that he spent 25 consecutive summers in stock venues performing and greeting his fans. Oh. So we're going to have a John Raitt stock soup. It's just going to be a hearty, baritone, warm soup. That is filled with longing and doubt from his beautiful Carousel in Oklahoma moments.
Amazing. Can I have an entree?
Sure. I'm going to do Sunday gravy, which is like an Italian tomato sauce. It's going to be like beautiful meatballs with tomato sauce, but the tomato sauce is going to have food coloring in it. So it's like a little, it's like different colors.
Okay.
And then spaghetti. So I have James Lapine, and it's going to be Sunday gravy in the park with George.
Great.
Oh, I get the colors now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You have to wear a hat while you eat it, though.
You have to finish the hat while you eat it.
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to make a cocktail based on Robert Morse.
Yes.
And, I mean, the easiest thing to do is be like, we're just going to have an old-fashioned.
Yeah.
But I love puns so much, and it's really bothering me that I can't think of an alcohol pun for How to Succeed or, you know.
Yeah. I don't. I Belvedere in you.
I don't
like How to Succeed in Drinking without really trying. Yeah, it's just pretty much what we do with our lives.
A rosemary-infused something.
Oh, okay. I like where you're going with this. I think a rosemary infused, vodka cocktail kept warm while you work late.
Ooh, yes. I like that.
Well, as a look, I give you 75% of the credit.
I'll take that.
Okay. So I have dessert and I have Miss Carol Burnett.
Oh.
So this is going to be a 17 layer cake.
Okay.
Each layer a different color.
Rainbow meal.
Each layer a different color, with different fondant creations on top, different quilted patterns, if you will, for each mattress.
Oh.
And there will be indeed one pea in this cake, and whoever gets the pea in their slice of cake is a princess for the night.
That's lovely. There's pea in your cake.
But that brings us to the end of our show.
It does.
Thank you, Laura, for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
We really appreciate it.
Thanks for the gin.
You're welcome. So we have a quote to end every episode.
Yep.
And I'm going to stick with the theme.
Okay.
Maybe my baby loves me, but oh, if so, why does my baby leave me crying alone in my cot? Maybe my loving baby loves me not. Shoo, doot, doon, doot, dab, do, did not do, bay.
What?
That's Maybe My Baby Loves Me from Grand Hotel.
Okay.
Sure.
You're welcome.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, right? Yes,
so we raise a glass, and as we end every episode,
Zoo-doo-wop-bump.
Thanks so much for joining us. You can follow Laura on @ Broadway Girl NYC.
On every platform.
On everything.
You can follow us @ Broadwasted on most platforms. Anyway, thanks for joining us. You'll listen to us next week when we have an amazing guest.
It's probably me again.
Well, we'll be airing this episode again.
Yay!
Wait, who is? Brother, 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 brother And don't forget to go to laurahaywoodmedia.com to see all of her interviews and sign up for her friends and fans mailing list.
Hey guys, it's Kimberly from Broadwasted. Does your business ship? No, not is your business a ship, like a pirate, but does your business ship packages, boxes, or freight, the kind of shipping that has you constantly deciding what's the best way to get your orders wherever they need to go? Well, let me tell you about Agile Network, a global shipping software provider for managing your business's shipping and returns using multiple carriers from a single platform. Agile Network drops the act to save your business time and money by executing shipments wherever they need to go. Businesses can save up to 30% on their transportation costs with better shipment planning, rating, routing, and tracking for increased shipment visibility. Stop overpaying for transportation today. Let over 3 decades of logistic expertise help your business make better shipping decisions. Call today at 866-686-2445 for a no-obligation shipping assessment or visit us at agile-network.com. That's agile, agile-network.com. Call today to ship better and save money.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.